AK Patters, we're talking Under the Silver Lake today. This movie deserves discussion on multiple levels. Everything that came about before the movie, during, after the movie itself, and what exactly does this movie mean to other filmmakers, other up-and-coming filmmakers, because this is what we would like to call a second movie. Second movies, historically, have not done very well. We're going to get into that amongst other things, but let's hang out. We got to talk about this movie. I'm excited. Let's go.
Camera speed, sound production, take one.
Action!
AK Patters, I just need to get right into this, because we got a lot of ground to cover. Under the Silver Sky came in hot, and it was picked up. It's off of David Robert Mitchell's It Follows. It Follows is what I consider to be one of the greatest modern-day horror movies of all time. I mean, like, greatest horror movies of all time, greatest of the modern-day horror movies. So if you're not familiar with It Follows, we detailed that here on the Film Buff podcast. But by the way, Peter A. DeLuca here, a.k.a. Pat69, yada, yada, yada. But welcome to the show. My objective here is to bring to you every single movie I've ever seen. So recently, I have to get that stuff out of the way. But recently, Under the Silver Lake, this movie was hyped. This movie hit the festival circuit, hit Cannes. People walked out, booed during Cannes. For whatever reason, you have to hear about that during the Cannes Film Festival. Like this year with Poor Thing or Poor Things. People were cheering for Poor Things, and it's great. But for this one, they walked out. But we have Andrew Garfield for $8 million neo-noir. Previously on this show, we detailed how neo-noir and this revelation came about with Shazzer, the Wolfgang Petersen movie. You might have to go down to the 500s for that one. But Shattered made me realize the importance of the neo-noir genre for filmmakers. It is a filmmaker's playground. It's a filmmaker genre, very similar to the observation that football or sports movies are a showcase for veteran or seasoned filmmakers. And for unknown and up-and-coming filmmakers, that showcase is horror. So we get two things here, right? We get a second at-bat. You did good with your experimental horror movie, It Follows. You did so well, we're going to give you a solid cast. We're not going to check on what you're doing. And if you want to make a 2.5-hour long movie, you can. And we got Andrew Garfield ready to go for you. Andrew Garfield is lovable, magnetic, amazing in this movie. He really is one of my favorites. He's really the cream of the crop, as we like to say. This is one of the reasons I believe people are pining for him to return as Peter Parker and Spider-Man. And it's documented here. I back those Spider-Man movies. I really do. I love the amazing Spider-Man movies, especially the second one with Jamie Foxx and Electro. Like, come on. His Electro is great. Let's leapfrog here. So this is David's second movie. When it comes to second movies, what comes to mind is Kevin Smith making Clerks and the derailment and the disappointment that Mallrats was when he got the keys to the kingdom from Universal. And then we get a movie like Donnie Darko, you get the keys to the kingdom and you get to make South Lane Prophecies with The Rock and Justin Timberlake. But that movie comes and goes. And this is another example of that. This is a large swing for the fences, and I love saying that, but this movie shoots for the moon. It's a second effort. You have I think $8 million is a huge budget. I really do. But you have a great cast, and you have a 2.5-hour long movie. And this movie relatively doubles as a slow drawn detective story. It is a mystery, and it's almost like it's by design. Every single 10 minutes, we've seen something shocking, or we got a piece of information, but we're jump cutting to another thing. So all of these things just happen in this movie. we're at a giant mansion, William Randolph Hearst style. We're in caves. we're in cabins. We're all over Los Angeles. We're in a pool. We're out of a pool. And it goes on and on. And that's the pull for this movie, because it moves so quick. And it's not MTV editing, as people like to lowbrow that comment or observation. It is a choice. So once we realize we're in the choice, what are we doing with this movie? We're trying to figure out what the point of this movie is as it marches on. A lot of movies do this. It's okay to wait for the point of a movie to emerge. And sometimes when you realize you don't know the point yet, or what the intent of the filmmaker is yet, you sit down and you wait. It's only 2 hours. Some movies do this well. Some movies do this with enough of a question. A movie like Saltburn, we'll be discussing that in later episodes. But like Saltburn gives you a definite for that. This movie does not. This movie gives you the idea that we've went on a journey, that we've achieved something. And Andrew Garfield's character, chases love, and he's chasing it on a level that it's a compulsion, but at the same time, he's seeking closure, and the part of that is the closure of his own very life. And along the way, we get this La La Land, this Hollywood fantasy within Hollywood, the people, the access, the money, the sunshine, all of it. La La Land is a good comparison to this movie, because these movies pretty much have the same point, but they operate in different polarities. La La Land, I'm still debating what the intent and point of that movie was. This is very similar, but I think they say the same things. If you're into neo-noir, if you're into a true detective story, and you want a bumbling, lovable character weaving through Hollywood, the highs and the lows, and potentially how God and higher power works through artists and individuals, and how their work affects our lives, this movie touches on all of those things. And I just feel like when you make a movie like It Follows and you're David Foster Mitchell, you have to feel like you're on top of the world. And that's a lot of how I feel like this movie comes off. Like, you feel like you're on top of the world. You feel like maybe you're invincible and you cannot do anything wrong. And this is the connection with a lot of those other movies I mentioned earlier. Southland Tales, Mallrats. These are failed attempts. They're worthy, though. They're so worthy of the efforts of that filmmaker. Not all filmmakers fall into like the second film trap, but here, and technically we can make that argument too with Saltburn. The second film attempts are fascinating, and I would watch this movie again. Technically speaking, I had the impulse to watch this movie again. Now, that doesn't mean I may not re-explore it and come back to you guys. That's also a theme I would like to get better at and to explore more of during these episode drops, where we can go back and rediscover movies together, and I can discuss them once more and give you those impressions. Now, we've only done that a few times. I do feel like this is worthy, but at the same time, David Robert Mitchell, same as Carter Smith with Passenger, same as Ty West with X, this is the new reign of filmmakers. And we have to hope that these guys stay in their lane and don't jump into the Disney shark or jump into the jaws of Disney, or jump into the jaws of big budget movies. We want this guy making these movies. Now, unfortunately, I believe he is making It Follows too. And we... I just wish he would jump on to something else. And that kind of reminds me of the point I made recently with the Charlton Heston number one movie, where it is fun when we can just watch a movie and know that it solely exists as it does. And I guess in a way, you know, people will discover something like The Matrix and just appreciate it as The Matrix and not care about the spin-offs or sequels, and same with RoboCop. Or just watch Gremlins as Gremlins, and then we don't care about these sequels. We're going to just appreciate what's in front of us right now. So, yeah, people, this movie's great. This movie's fantastic. This movie is controversial. This movie upset a lot of people. You know, and I get it. You know, there's hype, anticipation, and disappointment when we view some of these movies. But I think there's the opening of the clouds when we consider the intent of these filmmakers and the production. What is the intent? Once that's discovered, you can see the movie differently. I believe you're a bad audience member if you don't go down that road. If you take the low-hanging fruit and just want to bash and make fun of something, that is not the AKA Pad Film Buff way. We give things credit where credit is due. We try and see the entire scope, and I try and bring that to you guys. And I would say this movie is so much fun to watch. It really is, and that's also a part of the intent, because we're really seeing this insane world through the eyes of Andrew Garfield's character, with all things that we can relate to and things that we know. And believe it or not, some of these things are clues to a giant mystery, like Nintendo Power Magazine and The Legend of Zelda. These are clues. And in a way, it doubles to what those clues really are in our lives. See, because we're on the same journey as him. But he's in one with higher stakes. AKA Patty here, the film buff. I enjoyed this movie. Go check it out.